it is a pleasure to welcome back into Press Row. It's been a few weeks. He was a Tuesday regular. I really think, Jay, you and I had a lot to do with getting Lamont over that 20-win to that 20-win hump.
Are you talking about Lamont 20-win Paris?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, and he did it. But it is a pleasure to welcome back Lamont Paris to Press Row. Coach, how are you?
What's up, guys? I'm good. I'm telling you, it has been a little hiatus, but it's like, you know, when that supplement creatine that everybody takes to get big and strong, you have to cycle on and cycle off of it for it to be as effective. So we probably needed to cycle off for a little bit. Now we're ready to rock and roll again.
Absolutely. Of course, this is the first time we've talked to you since the SoCon has had a pretty significant coaching change. Steve Forbes leaving for the opening at Wake Forest. That was a result of John Curry moving on from Danny Manning. Just kind of your take on no more Steve Forbes at ETSU.
Man, good riddance. Get out of here. I mean, I'm just kidding. I called Steve. I'm sure he's gotten a million phone calls and so he didn't answer, but I called him. That was going to be my leadoff. What I said, I was going to say good riddance. But he's done a great job, obviously, and I think the best thing that they did, they had a really, really good identity, and then they would recruit and play to that identity. And so I'm happy for him. It'd be a good challenge for him. It was good for the league. I'm sorry for the league to see him go, to be honest with you, because I think it's a big part of the reason why the league has improved so much over the last 4 years or so. So be interesting to see what they do overall and long term. But a good opportunity for him, and I'm happy for him. That's about it.
This has got to be one of the biggest jumps from a school to school from a tuition standpoint. I can't tell you what ETSU is, but I know that Wake Forest is $72,000 a year to attend Wake Forest.
That's crazy. I mean, that's a really valuable education you're getting there now. Really valuable education.
So. All right.
Luckily, his guys don't have to pay for it.
All right. When we last talked to you, I mean, it was after everything had been canceled. We did kind of review some things, and we talked a little bit about the transfer portal. And you thought that with the dead period amid this pandemic, that there would kind of be this delayed chaos. And it seems like that has come to fruition. What kind of has it been like for you these last several weeks, and how much tougher has it been to kind of build a roster maybe compared to previous seasons?
It's interesting because it'll tell you where we're going with this transfer stuff, because due to the lack of the NCAA tournament and the COVID-19 stuff and whatnot, there were very few coaching changes relative to normal years, a typical year, and oftentimes that's the catalyst to getting some of these guys moving. And even with that, with the COVID-19 out there, with all of the lack in changes of jobs, and with all the questions that are out there, we still had, I think we're at like 850 grad transfers transfers in the portal right now. Last year was around 1,100, and that was in a normal year. So that's a really high number, I think, relative to the circumstances. So that's where we are with it. And if this was a normal year, I think we would have maybe almost doubled what we had last year. But it's made for a really interesting recruiting situation. I mean, everything's on the phone. You're watching. Your eyes are bleeding from being on the phone, and then your throat's dry from the computer, and then your throat's dry from being on the phone. I just, I made 65 phone calls the other day.
Wow.
And I look back and I just like, I can't do that again. I'm not going to make that many calls, but, So you're on the phone. There's so many questions with this new process, because at least when, guys were taking visits, you knew what their time, line looked like relative to the visits that they had set up. Okay, I'm going here this weekend, there the next weekend. So you know it's going to be 3 weekends. He's got 3 weekends set up before he's making a decision. Some of these kids, they go into the portal and they make a decision 4 days, 5 days later. Other kids are going to the portal, and it's going to be 2 months before they decide what they're going to do. It's just no rhyme or reason to it, and it just is. It's challenging. There's no question about it. But it's a level playing field for everybody, I guess, at the end of the day. And so we're just trying to navigate it.
Lamont, when was your 2019-20 roster? When did you know that was what you were working with? At what time of last year did that come together? And along those lines, amid this, do you have any timetable of when you could project your final 2021 roster?
Yeah, good question. I would say, we added Matt Ryan as a grad transfer. So that would have been after the season, probably. I'd say he probably took a month to decide. So by this time,
okay,
we were completely done. Even before this, because we were talking about, because Steph Koenig was a very late addition. He was a very late addition because Cleveland State fired their coach in almost June, I think it was, when they fired their coach. And then we added Steph to the mix. So our final roster wasn't done until June, I would say probably June. I was hoping to have this one done a little earlier, but we still got some work to do. So I'd say we're probably, depending on what happens, we're at least 2 or 3 weeks away from getting it all finalized.
Gotcha.
At this point.
You're listening to Lamont 20 Win Paris here on Press Row on ESPN 105.1 The Zone.
20, thanks as always for the time. I'm just kind of curious with all of the storylines and – it feels like every time anybody mentions a date, we're pushing something back.
Yeah.
And yeah. Now there's conversations of a real possibility that when we get into flu season next year, another thing is going to happen. How do you stay positive in this and not just focus on the negative, on what it could mean for you and your team?
You know, it's difficult. It's challenging at some times just because I'm not an epidemiologist I didn't know if you knew that, but I'm not in my spare time.
No, apparently you're a telemarketer, Coach. I mean, making 65 phone calls in a day.
I am a telemarketer. I double as a telemarketer. That's for sure. But it seems – what's the frustrating part is that as you see the ramifications of what potentially might be and all the pushback, that there's a chance that that's going to happen regardless, because there's so much that we don't know about this particular virus and specifically what's going to be effective with it and curtailing it. So that's out there anyway. But then when you feel like we make decisions that potentially – that status, that is what can be frustrating at times. And trust me, basketball and sports in the grand scheme of things is down on the list when we're talking about public health and lives and the ability to earn an income and support your family and all that stuff. I mean, trust me. But I don't want to downplay the economic impact of college and professional football and basketball on this country. I mean, those are the two most watched things by a long shot than anything on television in America, are the NCAA tournament and the Super Bowl. And so I think that has to be factored in there, that we need to make the types of decisions that allow those things the best chance to get going. Because if they don't, some universities are going to be in jeopardy. Right, there'll be some universities that, if football season doesn't happen, are going to close doors potentially for a while. It's just the ramifications of that are widespread. So it can be frustrating, but we just try to stay as positive as possible and spend a lot of time talking with our current players and trying to motivate them to just to do some workouts cardiovascularly and whatnot, just the things that we can do And then of course, abiding by all these rules that they tell us to do, and just trying to do whatever we can do to help get this thing, get ourselves in a position to where we can get some sort of normalcy out there as quickly as possible.
What can you share about your communications with Mark Wharton or the leadership of the university about what's out there, what plans are in place? And I know those are limited just because, as you said, none of us are epidemiologists and we don't know all this, but what are some of just the options that you have been told from the leadership of UTC? Because if the University of Kansas is making Bill Self and Les Miles take pay cuts, I mean, the longer we stay out of this, this affects everybody in every job.
Yeah, no question. And so, you know, there's all kinds of stuff that's on the board. I think in one scenario, we're hopeful that we can get kids back in for, you know, maybe the second summer session, and then have the fall jump off with, you know, full go on campus attendance, in class, in person classes. I think that's our most optimistic view of things. And, you know, having said that, we're also prepared to go online in the summer and then still try to get the kids on campus, potentially, you know, fall semester being online. So everything is just out there right now. I think we're probably a couple weeks away, or we're in the window right now where some decisions are going to have to start to be made on what we're going to do, and then probably stick to that at minimum once we would decide to potentially cancel summer classes in face summer classes, or not bringing our kids to campus, or whatever that looks like. So I think there's a lot of uncertainty obviously still out there, but right now is probably the period of time here in the next couple of weeks where we're going to have to make some of those hard decisions and probably have to stick to a couple of them as to whether we're going to be able to come back in the summer or not.
20, are you watching The Last Dance? If so, and I know you are, why'd I even ask that? What are your thoughts on The Last Dance?
Yeah, is that a real question?
I mean, come on.
hey, I'll tell you, I love it because basketball was as real as it got at that time to me in my life, and just NBA basketball in particular was my favorite thing. And just the teams were teams, and, you know, the whole drama of this, they were trying to break this team up. Now there's no such thing as breaking a team up, is it? It's going to, you got a new team to cheer for every year. Even if they're wearing the same jersey, it's 10 different guys sometimes. So I love it. I love it. I'll put it out there. I was never a huge Michael Jordan cheerleader. I just wasn't. I rooted against him most times I found myself. Having said that, I recognized how dominant he was as a player. I did, and I was in awe of what he could do as a player. But I just remember, man, when the Cavs, the Craig Elo shot, I was so rooting so against him. And I was rooting against him when Karl Malone, when he came and stripped Karl Malone on his post move, and then he came down later. And Brian Russell, was that who it was? He shot this.
That he shoved directly to the ground. Yeah.
That was the best stiff arm. That was the best stiff arm I've seen since I saw Walter Payton playing. And but yeah, I was always rooting against. I was rooting that. Nah, he just wouldn't do that. He wouldn't get that. He wouldn't make that. Even the Pistons, who I despised because I was a Lakers fan, I even found myself rooting for the Pistons to continue their dominance over the Bulls because of that. But it's fun. I love watching it. The stories behind the scenes that you didn't know about, the dynamics with some of these guys, the dynamics with the administration, and some of the things that they did, some of the egos that they had in the face of some of these super duper star players. It's just kind of crazy. But, yeah, I love it. I love watching it now 20 years later, whatever it is.
You're listening to Lamont Paris, UTC basketball coach here on Press Row on ESPN 105 on The Zone. Lamont, it's funny you bring that up because I've said all along, I grew up when I was little in Fullerton right outside of Los Angeles, so I loved all the L.A. teams, and the Showtime Lakers mm-hmm. were my favorite. And when the Bulls just waxed them, and I guess that was the week before where they showed that, where L.A. won game one in Chicago and then the Bulls won the last four, I'm the same way, because I love Jordan at UNC, but that kind of turned me against the Bulls. And I would root for Portland. Yeah. I would root for Phoenix with Barkley. I would just, whoever they were playing, I would kind of pull against them.
Yeah. Same here. It was the same deal. And it was, you know, it was kind of like when there was that was the real changing of the guard. And, you know, as a Lakers fan, Magic was, you know, on a pedestal
right
up there so high. So then when that happened, it was like, then it was even more reason to root against that guy. But he was a phenomenal, phenomenal player. And, you know, I don't, as a teammate, who knows? I mean, you can't question some things, but at the same time, you know, LeBron James takes a lot of flack because not too many teammates don't enjoy him as a teammate. And somehow that is regarded as a negative thing. Whereas, you know, you talk to some of these guys and how Michael Jordan would treat them, and you know, it wasn't fun a lot of times. So it's just an interesting dynamic. The whole thing, it was a great idea. I'm glad they did it. It's just funny to see, because some of these guys, our guys, weren't even born when he was doing his thing. So they still pick a side on the Jordan LeBron train. So.
Hey, before we let you go, of course, the one thing that's still kind of hanging out there is that one-time transfer waiver where, you know, it just seems like the momentum goes back and forth on that, and now it looks like it may not occur and it may be shelved until next year. What's just kind of your take on where that stands and how that would affect you?
Yeah, I've kind of heard that too now, that the momentum's moving more towards pushing it off for another year, which to me, I despise the rules, to be frank with you, but I also am in favor of it if it does pass, to do it next year, where one, there need to be some caveats with it. If players are going to be able to transfer that freely and that easily, you know, there's an APR academic component associated with this. I think we need to put some other things in there. If they're going to pass this, then that APR, the stipulations that are involved with that have to change, I think. And two, the most important thing is that you build a roster, right? And we're still building ours for next year. But say we build it and we bring in two grad transfers that we know are going to be able to play immediately. We have three or four core guys that we say, these five guys, these are going to be, they're going to play this role. And then we bring in two guys that you say they're going to sit and be ready the following year. Boom, it works out perfect. Well, now all of a sudden, these two really good players that had to sit don't have to sit. Well, they're really good, so they're in the mix, and they want to play. You were counting on them not playing, so now they're going to want to play. You got a couple guys that were already on the team whose roles are going to be affected by that. It just, I think to do it now would be a huge mistake. It just would be very difficult for teams that have planned with the rule that's existed almost the entire year. I think you need a year in advance to start to plan and build towards that, knowing that.
Lamont, thank you so much. I know we touched on a bunch of things, and I know hopefully you can get your 2021 roster wrapped up sooner than later. I know this has been a weird time for all of us, but as always, we appreciate you joining us here on Press Row.
Guys, it's been a pleasure. I've made so many phone calls. This is one where I can at least just step away from I'm not being on. I'm just hanging out with a couple of dudes and talking about whatever.
All right, so, we'll talk next week. We'll talk to you next week.
Yeah, I appreciate it. Yeah, bring me anytime.
All right, we'll talk to you next week.
On, guys.
All right.
Lamont, thanks so much. Take
okay.
care.
Okay, stay safe out there, fellas.
You do the same. Lamont 21 Paris joining us here on Press Row. 648-1051 is the number. We'll revisit the Painter Ready poll question. You're listening to ESPN 105.1 The Zone.